This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks for taking the time, Crystal, to come on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Why don't we start off, if you can please introduce yourself and your company.
Okay, so my name is Crystal Karam. I am the owner of a Ottawa-grown company called Tire Changers. We started Tire Changers back in 2011. It's a mobile tire changing service. So, you know, instead of having to take your car to a garage to get your tires changed twice a year in the spring and in the fall, we have technicians that come to our customers' homes and change their tires right there on their driveway or sometimes even at their place of work.
That's what a much needed business that is. Boy, I can't tell you many times I've, you know, tried to book a tire change and the guy says, yeah, well, you're, you know, it's like 10 weeks down the road or something because they're booked solid. So it's so much more convenient to go to your house. How did you come up with the idea?
So it was probably, you know, in 2010 that I was given this task to change the tires. My husband was away for a couple of months on a business trip, and I was pregnant at the time and had a toddler at home, and fall was approaching and I had to get the tires changed. So I really was, you know, you could say my first customer. I was the type of person that needed this service. I was thinking of the logistics of how to get the tires in the car, you know, how to lift them or how to remove the car seat for my toddler and find the time to go to the garage and find a sitter for him. So that's when I, you know, initially thought of this idea. And when I spoke to my husband that night over the phone and explained the challenges of the day, you know, I kind of sighed and said, like, why can't somebody just come to the house and do it? You know, I've seen my husband do it on our car many times, and it seemed, you know, easy enough in the sense that it didn't require a bunch of tools. So when I asked him that question, he said, you know, I think you're onto something. I think this should be a service, especially one that a lot of different types of people across Canada would need.
That's great. So when you started in, so the idea is 2010, you start in 2011. Were you the first in Ottawa at that time to, like, there's always been, I think, kind of individuals that'll do it, but were you the first company that offered this service, as far as you know?
Yeah. So as far as I know, I believe we were the first in Canada to come up with this idea. So it's kind of, it was kind of challenging in the sense that not a lot of people knew that this type of service existed or would be okay. You know, there was a trust issue. But being, you know, the first in Canada to offer such a service, it opened the eyes to many people, you know, many consumers and also many competitors.
How did you get the word out initially? Was it kind of friends and family to begin with to try to prove the business model, or what did that look like?
Yeah, so exactly. Initially, it was friends and family. You know, we had one technician at the time doing all of Ottawa, you know, running across from Kanata to Orleans and Manitic. It was manageable in the sense that we didn't have too many customers at the beginning. But as we grew each season, we realized that people were telling their neighbors about the service. Or their family members that they knew needed such a service. And then just with, you know, mailbox flyers, some online posts, things like that, we began to get the ball rolling.
Is it, do you deal primarily with neighborhoods in Ottawa that are consist of an older demographic?
So funny enough, whenever I look at our demographics of customer, they really range from young to old, male, female. There really isn't a set type of person that needs this service. Like I said, I was a young mother when I needed it. Now I'm, you know, our kids are teenagers. I still need the service. We're just busy with sports and work, and kids have part-time job here or there. And my parents need the service, them being seniors. So it really is for everybody. It's somebody, it's for something, it's anybody that owns a car could use this service that's looking to save time and have the convenience of this done at home.
The reason why I ask that is I live in an older, more established neighborhood. And anytime anyone is doing anything, whether it's a roof or all the mostly men, not the stereotype, but they all come out and talk to each other. What's he doing? What is having done? And I can't, whether it's snow plowing service or this type of service. And the next thing you know, that person has 6, 7, 8 more customers just based on the testimonial or the referral from the individual that started it. So is that how things really took off for you?
Yeah, absolutely. We had a referral program back then. I forget what it was exactly. I think it was about $25 off if you referred a friend or family. That really helped take it off. And I think, you know, like you said, having those curious neighbors creep around and see what's going on. Many times we'd have the technician call in and say, looks like there's 2 more neighbors that are ready to go. Is that okay? Can I do their cars too? I said, yeah, absolutely. Like that's fantastic. So it helps to have curious neighbors around.
And how long were you just in Ottawa? And then did you go outside of Ottawa?
Yeah. So we've been doing Ottawa since 2011 or 2012. Since then, now we've began franchising. So, you know, we have a location as far as Kamloops all the way to St. John's. There's 10 franchises now, the closest one also being in Gatineau. So this model of tire changing, you know, and how to get people to come to your house and, you know, understanding how simple the service really is and how needed it is, it's quite simple to expand and get others to join. It's a service that everyone across Canada really needs, obviously. We have snow everywhere, different climate change. So yeah, we've grown since 2011 to now 10 franchises across Canada.
Was that a difficult decision? I mean, that's a big undertaking once you start franchising. So at what point did you start doing that? Did you reach a point with Ottawa where you said, hey, listen, this is a proven model? And what year was it, approximately? How many years into that Ottawa operation before you decided to branch out and franchise?
It was probably around just shy of 10 years, I'd say. So we really locked in our secret recipe. You know, we really tried and tested what we were doing, and we knew it was successful. having tried it and doing it successfully for so long and seeing, you know, what works, what doesn't work, we had the confidence that this could go elsewhere. We did have people approach us and ask, you know, whether it was, you know, someone in, another city that was looking to work for us and just do the jobs there, or to start their own business venture as well. So it's something that that is expandable. You know, it's very easy to get it to grow.
And is the goal of the franchise, when you sell a franchise to a franchisee, and I'm somewhat experienced in this area, a lot of our clients are franchises, so I understand the math on it, but is your goal, is it to have basically a solopreneur or a solo operator in each city and they can generate a nice living for them and their family? Or is the goal more for them to have multiple employees? I guess it depends on the size of the territory, but when someone comes to you, what are they looking for? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah. So with each location so far, it differs. There is the model where, you know, someone can be the sole operator. They are, you know, in charge of the business itself and doing the actual tire changes themselves. And then there is the opposite, which is where there's, you know, more of a business set mind person who wants to do all the background stuff, you know, that, for example, that I'm doing, yes. And they want to hire technicians. So for larger cities, that model works really well. For smaller cities, you know, it still could work, but having somebody operate the business and being a technician at the same time works wonderfully as well.
So you get to offer the best of both worlds then. So if you're at a franchise trade show or you're trying to sell franchises, no matter what the person's needs are, you have an opportunity for them, correct? If they want to be an owner operator, you've got that model. If they want to build something that's more of a business where they're more managing everything, you also have that model, again, depending on the size of the territory. Is that correct?
Exactly. We do always present those two models because many different people out there. There are very business focused people, or there are very, you know, hands-on techie type of people that want to do the actual work themselves.
What's been your biggest source of leads for franchise, for people wanting to become a franchisee? Is it trade shows, or is it people just finding out about you on your website, or what does that look like?
Right. So we do a couple franchise shows a year. Those have been successful. So that's helpful. Also, people hearing about us and going on the website, there's a little franchise tab there that they can also apply. So that's also another way that these applications are coming in.
So before you, let's switch now over to some of the lessons you've learned. So when you came up with this idea in 2010, did you have were you an entrepreneur prior to that? And if not, where did this kind of come from?
No, so I wasn't an entrepreneur at all. Okay. I was working as a junior architect at a firm here in Ottawa, doing historical renovations. I very much am a tomboy in that sense. Like, I do like to get my hands dirty. I never really dipped into the automotive industry, but I guess when the light went off was when I was off of work. I was, you know, at home with my toddler, pregnant with our second child. And it kind of gave me time to think, like, do I want to go back to an office? Do I want to sit from 9 to 5? You know, and many times it wasn't 9 to 5, it was long hours at the office. Is that the lifestyle I wanted to have? And kind of being in limbo, it gave me time to decide that wasn't what I wanted to do. So, you know, when I came up with the frustration to my husband of trying to get the tires in the car and get the car seat out, that's when we both sat down and said, well, why don't we give this a try? You know, we have the time right now. At the time, there was a program that was offered by Ontario called OSEB, Ontario Self-Employment Benefit Program. So I took advantage of that. And it kind of gives you some help with how to start a business from scratch, how to pitch your idea, how to do marketing, how to do accounting, you know, all at a base level, but just to give you an idea of what you're getting into, right? So yeah. Since then, that was when it took off.
So would one of your recommendations be to someone that's listening that may be thinking of starting a business to try and find those resources? I don't know if the OSEB still exists, but would that be a recommendation you'd make? Did that really help you?
I don't think it does exist anymore, unfortunately. It was very helpful. However, I do think that the best thing people could do is, you know, once you have an idea of what you want to do, many times it's already been done, you know, so look at what your competitors are doing, or, you know, go on social media. There's so many creative people out there that are doing different things. And it kind of gives you motivation to think, you know what, I think I can do this. You know, you don't need to quit your job right away and go full force, unless that's what you want to do. But, you know, just trickles into the idea with asking friends and family what they think. You know, I remember asking our family, like, would you use such a service? Do you think that this would be helpful to you? Everyone thought it was a really great idea. They were hesitant, you know, no one in our family really started a new business right off from scratch. But just talking to friends and family also, just to see if it's something that they would like to see more of, or would think that is successful. And also look out to competitors that are doing similar things.
Would you also, it's really interesting we're having this conversation, Crystal, because one of our most recent podcasts, the guest was saying he was hesitant to go to family and friends because he was worried they were just going to tell him what he wanted to hear. And they weren't going to be truthful with him, that whether or not they just wanted to support him. He talked about two ventures, one that was the feedback he got, and he went ahead with it and found that the market really wasn't there for it. And when he went back to his friends and family, they all kind of sheepishly said, yeah, we were just trying to support you. I know every family and every friend group is different, but outside of those two, would you recommend any kind of informal market research beyond the family friend idea?
Right. That's a really good point. I didn't have that experience. Both my husband and my side of the family, they're pretty blunt and honest type of people. So we knew we could trust what they were saying.
Okay.
Same with our friends. One thing we did do is reach out to two of our friends that already were business owners. And, you know, they kind of saw things from a back end of things. So from their perspective, they were able to help better explain what is to be expected, you know, what I would be involving myself in if I were to start my own business.
It's interesting because that kind of segues into what I want to ask you next. So, you know, you've been there, you've got some advice from people. But before I ask this question, you made an interesting point about reaching out to a couple of people you know that own businesses. I tell people all the time, talk to other business owners, even if you don't know them. It's amazing how, and I hope you back me up on this, but it's amazing how open entrepreneurs are to try to help another entrepreneur as long as they're not competing with them. That we're more than happy to give up our time, even if we don't necessarily know them, as long as their intentions are honorable. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree. You know, when I did speak to those two friends that own businesses already, they were already quite successful and did just want to see me succeed as well. And also the people that I met at that OSEB program were also extremely helpful. You know, they had all had businesses that they had started, and some were successful, some weren't. But there's a lot of people out there that are just willing to help, and they want to see little locally grown businesses here in Ottawa flourish.
Well, it's quite frankly, it's the reason why we do this podcast. That's the whole goal of it. That's the spirit of it anyway, is to try to help anyone that either has a business that may be struggling, or someone that's, you know, thinking of starting a business. So to anyone listening that is, you know, thinking of starting a business and you're not too sure where to turn, Crystal and I would both recommend, you know, reach out to entrepreneurs, whether you know them or not, and you'll be surprised how open they'll be and how much time they'll give you to help you up to a point, as you know, as long as it's a reciprocal arrangement somewhere down the road. Okay, Crystal, let's switch focus here. And obviously, like any business, we all have our struggles as we're growing. Any advice you would give to someone that may be listening that is currently has a business that may be hitting a sticking point or maybe struggling a bit?
Yeah, I would say, and you know, I still struggle with this till today, is to outsource work. So when I started, you know, I remember some of the mentors telling me, outsource work, guys, you know, you need to look at the bigger picture, try and get an accountant, get an assistant, administrative assistant, marketing advisor, all these things. And I remember rolling my eyes and thinking, no way, that I'm not going to waste money on that. I'm going to do everything myself. And I tried to, and you know, sometimes it was successful. Sometimes it took me hours at night to figure out. But I think, you know, today I have learned that outsourcing work definitely helps. In the long run, it helps you not waste money because you're using your brain to figure out ways to grow your business, to look at the bigger picture and see, you know, how can you change things? How can you make things better? So outsource work.
But it probably didn't do you any harm, because at least you had a basic understanding of those elements that maybe you didn't before, so that when you did outsource it, you did it from a position of strength, right? You when you were talking to someone about marketing, for example, you know, if you already knew at least the baseline marketing methodology, you could have a conversation with them versus just trusting someone who you've never met before. So would you say that that's kind of part of the journey? At least have a base understanding of these things before you farm it out?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. I'm thinking just about, you know, trying to navigate QuickBooks, for example, trying to figure out how does this accounting thing work? You know, again, my husband always dealt with that task, so I did not know where to start. And as I kind of looked into, okay, so there's this folder and this account and chart of accounts here, it did help me understand, and it helped me know what questions to ask, right? You know, you'd make a phone call to CRA and have no idea what even you're asking. So it does help, even things with marketing, you know, trying to understand what little key points you're supposed to put in this, the demographics and when you want your ad to go out and all that stuff. It's tricky, but as long as you, you know, take your time to figure out the basis, then you can go out and ask help, ask for help, and ask the right questions.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you'd want to share with someone that may be struggling?
I think just take your time. You know, don't rush into anything. Set yourself up with a support system around you where you can take things one step at a time. As long as you have a goal at the end and you know, step by step how you're going to get there, just tackle one thing at a time.
It's really hard though, isn't it, for the person with the entrepreneurial brain to do that, to focus on that one thing at a time?
It is, yes, because, you know, when you open your laptop every morning and, you know, you have like, you know, A, B, C, D things to do. I do find just writing down a list and putting a little box beside each thing and checking it off is what helps me get through the day.
Crystal, if you don't mind me asking, how do you go about balancing, you know, you've got young kids, you're teenagers now, but you've got a family, you've got a business that you're running. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with the balance between home and work-life balance. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, it's not easy. You know, thankfully my husband is on board with this whole idea. So he's super supportive. And anytime I do need to, you know, run up to the bedroom and close the door and take a meeting or a call, he's there to help, which is fantastic. So, you know, I think just making sure that you do have a good support system and everyone's aware of what your expectations are of them and their expectations of you. It's very possible, you know, it's all doable. And this doesn't really, it's not meant to make your life so chaotic that you can't do anything, that you can't work or be a mother or a wife or a friend. It's should be, you know, intermingled in your life.
It's an interesting choice of words you used. Years ago, I read this quote that when you're an entrepreneur, it's hard to have a work-life balance. What you need to look at is how do you accomplish work-life integration?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to just turn things off at 5 o'clock. Your brain's going to keep going, but you know, your partner or your kids or your friends, someone may need to talk to you. Okay. So you're going to have to be able to have the capabilities of mentally parking that business thought and focus on the person in front of you, and then maybe come back to it later. It really is unique that way compared to working for somebody.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I definitely think, you know, this idea that you'll be working 9 to 5 is pretty false. You know, unless you have everything very well oiled, that's great. But, you know, there are days where you are up all night thinking and, you know, you'll write something down, a little note on the side, oh, don't forget to do this in the morning. And it's, you know, a bit, it does fog your brain a little bit, but you have to love what you're doing, right? And believe in what you're offering to the public. So that helps you get through it all.
Fair. Crystal, before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about both using your service and also anyone that's listening that may be interested in the franchise side of things?
Yeah, so it's all on our website, www.tirechangers.ca. Customers can book their appointment by entering their postal code and seeing what days and times are available for them. And there's also a franchisers tab where anyone that's interested in opening up this service in their city can also get some information on.
Great. Thanks so much, Crystal. Really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.